Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Pull up a stool and join us. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Weekdays 3 to 6 on 95.7 ESPN.
He was highly regarded around the NFL. The Panthers loved him. He's versatile. He's done it all in the front office. He's dedicated, as evidenced by his 19 years with the franchise. He's smart, humble, a hard worker, and a team player.
There's Bills owner Terry Pegula on his new general manager, Brandon Bean, announced this morning, introductory press conference. Are you trying to hit the post, Jane?
I think so. Chris Trapasso joining us on the phone. He, of course, is with Buffalo Rumblings. Chris, how are you today? What were your thoughts on the press conference, Brandon Bean being introduced today?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on. I think that with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, beyond just their connections in Carolina and the success that they saw over the past couple of seasons with the Panthers, they almost seem to be in lockstep in terms of how they handle the media. They're very well-spoken. They have a good answer for everything. It's not necessarily just coach speak or GM speak. And they are pretty well-versed in all areas. So I think going from what the Bills had with Rex Ryan and Doug Whaley, and then even before that with Doug Marrone, the relationship between the media and those guys in key positions for the Bills was not very good. And I think just from a PR standpoint, any of those guys were not fantastic, but it seems like with Bean and McDermott, they were both ready for these new positions that they're now in.
Chris Trapasso, BuffaloRumblings.com, joining us in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. One of the things that we knew was going to get asked this morning at this introductory press conference, who controls the 53-man roster? And not real surprising to hear that the GM does have control of the 53-man roster. How true is that?
I don't know how true that is. And I think when you really look at some of the other successful teams in the NFL that have been successful, like they were talking about today, having sustained success, they have kind of, you know, it's a blurred line between who's making the final call, who has control. There's just a few words here and there that can really change everything. And it really does seem like, though, that Sean McDermott has the most power on the personnel side. But I do think it made sense for the Bills to say the GM has control of the 53-man roster, because if he comes in, Brandon Bean, and the first thing they say is, well, you know, he's the GM, but the head coach has control of the roster, he would kind of almost be in a lame duck situation. I think it would be similar to like what we see in Seattle with John Schneider and Pete Carroll. John Schneider technically has control of the 53-man roster, but because of Pete Carroll's long, vast background in coaching, nothing really happens without him signing off. I think we're going to see that same situation with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott.
Trying to build the staff here for the Buffalo Bills, that's my storyline here these next few weeks, as it's certainly going to be Brandon Bean's number one priority. I want to start with one guy that might be held over as Jim Overdorff's name came up today. So, Chris, what can you tell us about Jim Overdorff's role with the Buffalo Bills, and is that a guy that you want to hold on to, or do you think the Bills could go out there and perhaps find somebody that could do that job just as well?
Well, I think that's a really good point to bring up. And Brandon Bean was asked specifically about his background with contract negotiation, and he seemed very confident and said that he had been everything from Cam Newton's contract extension to guys that were the last guy on the roster. He was involved and has sat in those rooms and has had contract talks. So I think when you had Doug Whaley, when you had Buddy Nix, those guys were scouts. They were on the pro personnel side of things. They didn't really have that background. That's obviously very important, kind of assigning value two specific players. Wording, special structuring in contracts, very important. But I think the fact that Brandon Bean has that experience, I think that kind of, like Terry Pegula said, that was a big part of why he was hired. So Jim Oberdorf has been the Bills contract guy for a long, long time now, and I just wonder if he does if he is kept around, will Brandon Bean kind of be the real figurehead in those contract talks? That Oberdorf had a very prominent role, and I just don't think, even if he is kept around, that that will really be as big of a role in 27 and moving forward.
Taking it on the field, Brandon Bean, during his introductory press conference, Chris, mentioned the importance of the run game, which in today's NFL might make a fan just a little bit nervous. And I think, you know, a lot of that importance of the run game comes from the fact of where Buffalo plays their home games. But what did you take away from the football talk, that the on-the-field talk that happened, as far as what kind of a team this Bills offense is going to be? A ground-and-pound kind of offense, more of the same of what we've seen?
Sure, yeah. I mean, he got into that a little. I was saying earlier, most GMs, most head coaches, coordinators, when they're doing their introductory press conference, they don't say too much about specifics. He mentioned right off the bat that Tyrod Taylor is obviously the starter, and he's looking forward to see how he can lead as a quarterback. And that, I think, being coming in and inheriting a team that's been the best rushing attack in the NFL the last 2 years, Shady McCoy, I mean, they obviously get rid of Mike Gillisley, but they have Tyrod Taylor, who's arguably top three, top five rushing quarterback in the league. They have their returning offensive line. They drafted an offensive lineman in the second round. For him to come in and say, oh, we don't really care about running the ball, we want to really throw around a lot, wouldn't really be the best thing to say at an introductory press conference. He did mention that you have to be able to pass too. So I think the fact that he didn't say specifically they want to be ground and pound, which is what Rex's kind of philosophy was, he and Greg Roman, was probably a good thing, because you do need to be able to pass it and pass it efficiently in today's NFL. But with the Bills' just roster makeup on that side of the ball, they are still going to lean on that run game.
Another thing, Chris, Chris Trapasso joining us here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN, talking about how do you build a team? Do you build it through the draft? Do you build it through free agency? And the answer was a little telling. It's we're not going to see big flashes in free agency, was the quote. And judging by what they did down in Carolina, Chris, I can't think of one big free agent signing that they made down there.
No, and that was really, I mean, even going back to Marty Herney, who was the GM that Brandon Bean first worked under, that was the GM for the Panthers from 2002 to 2012, they really weren't doing that. And with David Gettleman, who's actually a former Bills scout, he scouted in the late 80s and early, but they were having a lot of good drafts and hitting on a lot of those draft picks, never really have done that. So I think it's always interesting when a new GM comes into place to kind of monitor how much of the philosophies of his mentor that he kind of takes with him. And even beyond the not a lot of big free agent signings, which is a very smart thing, two things that they really prioritized in Carolina: building that defensive line to help the pass rush, and they kind of like that ripple effect of what that can do to help the secondary. And they really prioritized size at the wide receiver spot, and the Bills hadn't done that. Doug Whaley liked smaller, faster receivers, didn't really care if a guy was 5'7", 5'8", 5'9". With Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess, even Greg Olsen as a pass-catching tight end, they liked those bigger receivers. So those two things I'm kind of monitoring most specifically to see if Brandon Bean will kind of take that from his time with the Panthers.
Editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com, it's Chris Trapasso joining us in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia talking about a GM who wants to build his team through the draft. And Chris, the last time we spoke to you was right before the Bills draft. We haven't even had a chance to get caught up and get your thoughts on how the Bills did with this draft. And with rookie minicamp starting this weekend, what a better time to evaluate how the Bills did with the 2017 NFL draft.
Well, what was funny is that I didn't think that they would pick Tre'Davious White in the first round, especially after they traded back, because I didn't think he would be there. And on your show 2 weeks ago, I talked about the depth of the cornerback class. So if I was running the Bills draft room, I would have waited a little bit longer to pick a corner. However, Tre'Davious White was my number one cornerback in this entire class. There were some guys that were a little taller, had a little bit longer arms, maybe had a little bit better of a combine, but his film at LSU and his body of work 4 years, you know, he was playing as an 18-year-old freshman for LSU, and that really says something with how good those defensive backs come out of that school. He just had the best overall body of work to me. So for the Bills to get him late in the first round after a trade, I thought that was awesome. Zay Jones, to me, was almost an incomplete evaluation because his East Carolina offense, they threw him the ball so much, and 90% of the time it seemed like was on a screen pass or a one-yard drag route, just very, very gadgety offense. So I think he has the size and athleticism to transition into a pretty good number two, but he's got, you know, a pretty steep learning curve because he's coming from such a – and I think Deion Dawkins is exactly what the Bills want, athletic, powerful, right tackle. If they want to move him to left guard after Richie Incognito's done, they can do that. He just brings a lot of what it seems like Sean McDermott wants and has all the raw skills to be a really good offensive lineman.
What did you think about the trading up not once but twice here? Because when we're talking to a lot of people, yeah, we like the Bills draft. However, you give up all these extra picks, Chris, on a team that, let's be honest, the depth isn't quite there.
No, sure. That's probably the main thing that I didn't like about the Bills draft, and talking about what Brandon Bean may or may not take from his time in Carolina, they have not been afraid to trade up in Carolina at all. In the last three drafts, they've actually traded up four separate times for players and given up, you know, a lot of those extra picks like you're talking about. The only thing that is good for the Bills, I didn't like the back-to-back trade-ups, but they started the draft with six picks, traded back, traded up twice, and ended the draft with six picks. So they didn't technically lose anything from what they went in with. But overall, I think if you want to build through the draft, you don't want to have four, five, and six picks every year. You want to have seven, eight, nine picks. And we usually see the teams that are successful overall and in the draft are the ones that are actually trading back. So I think the Bills did trade back first, which was nice, and it's going to be great for them to have that extra pick next year. But anytime you trade up, you have to be totally positive about your evaluation of the player that you want, and we'll see how Zay Jones and Deion Dawkins do with the Bills this year.
It sure feels like with those moves to trade up that the Bills were drafting more out of need rather than drafting the best available player on the board. As we continue with Chris Tripasso, the editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com, in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. You brought up tight ends earlier. Greg Olsen as a big pass-catching tight end in Carolina. It just triggered a thought in my mind. What's going on with Gary Barnage? We heard about Gary Barnage visiting the team, and we haven't heard anything since. Is this a matter of not being able to sign a free agent because of the cap issues, or are we just going to wait until we get closer to the start of camp before we make a move to bring on another tight end?
Well, I think having a GM now would probably help, and especially one, like we said earlier, that knows everything about the cap, has done those contract talks. It was pretty funny to see that Richie Incognito and Eric Wood and John Miller, those offensive linemen, were with Gary Barnage, who is a Louisville graduate, at the Kentucky Derby. Eric Wood sent out a tweet that recruiting. I think over the next week, hear anything about Gary Barnage signing with the Bills, and the ship has probably sailed because there probably will be other teams that will be interested. He's not super young, but he, you know, had kind of a revival over the last couple seasons and could certainly be a valuable depth guy that the Bills certainly need at a lot of spots on the roster.
And talk about a depth guy. The Bills brought in Trey Boston, who is an old employee, if you will, of Sean McDermott. But today he went on Twitter and said he's signing with the Chargers. So is that a loss for the Bills, would you say, Chris? And I mean, obviously now that secondary, particularly at the safety position, I would think the new GM has to take a look here. What is out there? Where could you upgrade?
Yeah, I think that is actually a pretty big loss. I mean, you wouldn't really think that into free agency, you know, 4 or 5 months now, that this would be that big of a deal. But he is a capable starter, would certainly have known Sean McDermott's system, was pretty productive, wasn't an, like, you know, all pro or a pro bowler, but was a solid player. So to not get him when there was a chance of him to come to Buffalo is certainly a pretty big loss for the Bills at this point. And looking at that safety spot, I think that's spot on, that is probably the weakest position on the Bills roster at this point. I don't necessarily blame them for letting go of Aaron Williams and Corey Graham, you know, injury issues, and Corey Graham is kind of well past his prime. You bring in Jordan Poyer, who is a really, really good athlete and was kind of coming to his own in Cleveland, but there's a lot of unknown about him. And Micah Hyde's going to play some corner. He's kind of like a Swiss Army knife, more traditional safety. So I think that probably is the position that Brandon Beeden needs to and will look at to address any kind of street free agents that are out there or any of these rookies that are trying out for the Bills this weekend.
Chris Trapasso, BuffaloRumblings.com, joining us in the sports bar to review Brandon Beeden's introductory press conference this morning at One Bills Drive. We actually got some levity out of Brandon Beeden when he was discussing his relationship with Sean McDermott, the fact that Sean McDermott has wrestling mats in his house and his oldest son is wrestling. And then later in the day, after rookie mini camp, McDermott in his press conference mentioning when pressed about who would have control of the 53-man roster and how would you handle those disagreements, that they would have to take it to the mat. The two of them would have to wrestle it out to see who comes right. I mean, Chris, I got to imagine this is as light as these two guys are going to get. We're not going to get the antics of a Rex Ryan, who we dubbed Shecky by the middle of last season with all of his commentary.
No, definitely not. But I think we will kind of get, just because these guys do know each other, Brandon Beeden talked about how they would go on runs together when they were on some road trips. So I think their past history will help. We'll get an occasional kind of line like we heard today from both guys. But I think these are pretty strictly business football guys that aren't going to give us a ton of headlineable quotes and make any guarantees or talk trash about the Patriots. And after Rex Ryan and then just with how poor Doug Marrone was with the media, this is kind of a refreshing new thing for the Bills.
And Chris, before we let you go, since we had you on last, right before the draft, the Bills not picking up the option on Sammy Watkins, the fifth-year option. Your thoughts on that? And then Danger and I spotted an article, it was actually on the Baltimore Ravens website, where they're quoting somebody else that's speculating, oh, would the Buffalo Bills trade? Well, I mean, could this actually be thrown out there? Would this be something perhaps that will be discussed behind closed doors, knowing that you have only Sammy Watkins technically under contract for one more year?
I would be stunned if one of Brandon Beeden's first moves or even considerations would be looking to trade Sammy Watkins. Sammy Watkins is only 23 years old. He just turned 24, I think, actually, but he's still very, very young. And I think not picking up the option, just when you see the word decline, it sounds like a negative and it means the Bills want to move on from him. But just with everything that went into or would have gone into picking up that option, I think it actually was the right move for the Bills. If they picked it up and he got hurt like he did last year with his foot, then they'd be on the hook for his $13 million the following season, fully guaranteed. With this, they can see him play a little bit. And even if there are any issues with him, his agent, and Brandon Beeden at the contract table, they can hit him with the franchise tag, which is a little bit more, but it kind of just gives them a little bit more freedom and doesn't necessarily make them risk the possibility of Watkins getting hurt and then them having to pay an injured player $13 million who can't play for them. So I would be stunned if they looked into a trade for Sammy Watkins. And it seems like they just wanted to take a more prudent approach that's more year by year with him.
Guy knows his stuff. Editor-in-chief at BuffaloRumblings.com, our friend Chris Trapasso, joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Chris, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon and have a great weekend.
All right, Mike, thanks.
You got it. Chris Trapasso joining us. And if you missed any of that, we'll have it for you on demand at the all-new ESPNRochester.com.
Yeah, great stuff there. And, he kind of threw water right on that. And again, if you're not familiar with what we're talking about, the Baltimore Ravens website actually speculated on would the Buffalo Bills be open to trading Sammy Watkins because the Ravens need a receiver. Well, if that's just some blog somewhere, well, who cares? But this is actually a real NFL team's website putting it out there, which forces us to have the conversation. And it couldn't be one of these, okay, is this real news or fake news sort of deals? But then look at all the angles here, Danger. You have a receiver that the Buffalo Bills, for whatever reason, they want to see more out of at this point. We don't even know if he's healthy at this point, which probably, at the end of the day, that more than anything else is going to prohibit any sort of trade.
Well, you have I don't want to say character issues, but you certainly have some off-field distractions right now if you're Sammy Watkins. And if you're a believer that family comes first, he's got some family in trouble. His brother allegedly involved in gang activity. And when $1 million bail was set to be posted by Sammy Watkins, that motion was denied by a Florida judge who questions why Sammy Watkins isn't there to testify to make sure that that $1 million isn't dirty money.
Yeah, so Sammy Watkins is going to have to go down to Florida at some point. Yeah.
That's an off-field distraction if you're Sean McDermott or Brandon Bean. You really don't want to have to deal with. And I'm sure Sammy Watkins doesn't want to have to deal with it either. It'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. But yeah, pretty much everybody that we floated that by just completely douses that flame. Like, no way. No way they get rid of Sammy Watkins. But what if?
Well, you know what you can't say anymore as an objection? You gave up two first-rounders. Nobody here when this organization gave up two first-rounders. That was then, this is now. And I'm just throwing that out there. Because if there is a team that, in my opinion, would be reckless enough to give you a first-rounder for Sammy Watkins, okay, you know what's better than having two first-rounders next year in a quarterback-rich draft? That would be having three first-rounders. And when we had Mike Rodak on yesterday, he didn't think that Sammy Watkins in his state right now would command anything more than a second. But I'm saying you should keep your eyes open.
What if? Sure.
We spot trends.
That's all we do in the sports bar. We'll serve up the day's top NFL stories in bite-sized form. It's something we call NFL appetizers. We'll do it for you next in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.